Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we still have some dense fog here in the listening area, and the dense fog advisory that was to expire this hour has been extended for yet another hour by the National Weather Service. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Topping our news this morning, a volunteer on-duty firefighter with the Shelby Fire Department was struck and killed by a car Sunday evening at the scene of an earlier crash on Interstate 80 in Pottawatomie County. According to the Iowa State Patrol, 41-year-old Michael Collins from Minden was directing traffic at around 6:50 p.m. just east of the Shelby exit on I-80 eastbound when he was hit by a car driven by 43-year-old David Lee Thies of Ames. Thies's 2001 Honda Accord was in the closed lane of traffic when it hit Collins, who died at the scene. His body was transported to the state medical examiner's office in Ankeny for autopsy. The accident, which remains under investigation, closed I-80 eastbound for about 2 hours. The Iowa DOT had also previously restricted lanes in that area due to ongoing bridge work. News time is 8:01.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Ricky, what in the world are you doing?
Crystal, I'm getting ready for tailgate season by combining two of America's pastimes, country music and football. I just wish there was a way I could conveniently take my TV with me while tailgating.
I can't help you with your singing, but I do have a solution for your TV issue. With Dish Network's Tailgater, a portable, fully automatic HD antenna which allows you to be watching the pregame show within minutes of pulling into the parking lot, with no alignment necessary. All you need is the tailgater with the appropriate receiver, and you will be the go-to person for all the highlights on game day.
That's exactly what I need, so I'll be the man on game day.
Now, Ricky, there's only one place this season to get a Dish Network for your home and the tailgater for your RV. At the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer, 907 East 7th Street, Atlantic, or call 243-3032 or check us out on Facebook.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
Six people, an adult and five children, were injured Sunday morning during a single vehicle accident just north of Malvern in Mills County. The Iowa State Patrol said 40-year-old Tiffany Monson of Malvern was driving a 1995 Chrysler Concord that left the road at around 11:30 a.m. near the intersection of 315th and Jonkey Avenue and then struck a tree. Monson and the passengers in her car, two females ages 15 and 11, along with three males ages 12, 10, and 9, were injured. Only one of the vehicle's occupants, a 15-year-old female, was wearing a seatbelt. All of the crash victims, with the exception of a 9-year-old male, were transported to the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. The 9-year-old boy was taken to Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Now, the names of the children were not released, but we have learned at least one of the youths has been released from the hospital. Report on the other crash victims' conditions is not available. A crash at a blind, uncontrolled intersection southeast of Elliott Saturday evening caused $16,500 damage to the vehicles involved, but there were no injuries reported. Authorities said a pickup registered to Twin Pines Farm in Griswold and driven by 39-year-old Jeffrey Mundorf of Red Oak was traveling south on N Avenue just after 6 p.m. Saturday. At the same time, a pickup driven by 43-year-old Jeffrey Reynolds of Elliott was traveling east on 120th Street. When Mundorf crested a hill, he saw Reynolds' pickup approaching from the west, but was unable to avoid the contact with the vehicle. Reynolds' 1999 Ford F-150 hit the 2011 Chevy Silverado pickup Mundorf was driving in the right rear tire, causing the vehicle to spin 360 degrees before entering the east ditch just south of the intersection. Reynolds' pickup went into the ditch southeast of the intersection and hit a tree before coming to rest. The investigating officer's report said no citations were issued because the crash was at a blind intersection coming from the north at the posted speed limit. The Atlanta Community School District has settled with the families of three girls who sued over strip searches. A trial had been scheduled to take place this month in Cass County District Court, but a recent settlement ended the case. Attorneys in the case have declined to reveal any details about the agreement. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of three girls who claimed they were strip searched in a locker room in August of 2009 after a classmate reported the theft of $100 from her purse, but no money was ever found. The lawsuit claimed the girls' state and federal rights against unreasonable searches had been violated, as was an Iowa law that specifically prohibits strip searching students. The superintendent and several school board members have declined to comment on the settlement. Speaking of the Atlantic School Board, they're scheduled to meet this evening at 7 o'clock in the High School Media Center. And during their session, the newly elected board members, Rod Hartwig and Josh McLaren, will be sworn in, along with Phil Haskell and Denny Davis, who were re-elected to another term. The new board will act on electing a board president and vice president before moving on to other business. Action items on their agenda include approval of resignations, a 2011-2012 28E agreement with the Cass County Hospital, the certified fiscal year 2011 annual report, and the first reading of internet use, technology, and laptop computer policies. The board is also expected to discuss the recently released list of districts in need of assistance and schools in need of assistance reports. The retiring CAM School Board and newly reorganized CAM Board of Education will meet this evening at the CAM High School Media Center in Oneida. At 6 p.m., the retiring board will review and discuss old business and review an abstract of votes before adjourning. The newly reorganized board meeting will follow immediately thereafter with a swearing-in of new board members and election of officers. Other administrative matters include discussion with regard to tax increment financing and energy audit, usage of Oneida Wellness Center, adjustments to the school lunch prices and the fitness equipment program. Action items will include a request for allowable growth and supplemental aid for negative special education balance, a contract revision, and the purchase of a truck. The Elkhorn-Kimbleton School Board will meet at 7 p.m. in the Family and Consumer Science Room at the high school in Elkhorn. On their agenda is action pertaining to contracts and resignations and discussion with regard to the high school parking lot. The old school board will then adjourn and new board members will be sworn in, followed by the election of officers. New business during the session will include administrative matters and action on school lunch prices, continued sharing of activities with other districts, approval of an acceptable use policy, and other board policies. And the Griswold School Board will meet this afternoon in the Central Office Boardroom. During their 5:30 p.m. session, newly elected board members Scott Peterson and Douglas Lemke and returning re-elected board members will be sworn in. The new board will then decide on who will become the president and vice president for the board for the new term. And during the business portion of their meeting, the Griswold School Board will receive an update on district improvement projects and later information pertaining to the annual progress and annual yearly progress reports. Other administrative matters will be handled as well, including direction on how the board wishes to proceed with improvement projects, fresh on the heels of the voter-approved revenue purpose statement last week. The City of Atlantic's Park and Recreation Board of Directors are set to meet this evening at City Hall. Some action items on their agenda include those pertaining to the election of a secretary, the Shieldburg Fishing Dock repair and replacement, and an update on the Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring's conversations with Councilman Kern Miller about his concept to move the skate park from its current location at Sunnyside Park to another spot. The Parks and Rec Board will also hear updates on the Shieldburg Quarry Lake No. 1 Trail and Bull Creek Pathway projects, and discuss sidewalk replacement at the city park, along with other matters, including the Sunnyside tennis courts and restroom replacements. And that meeting begins at 5:15 p.m. Enrollment at Iowa Western Community College has reached a new high. College officials say that 7,206 full and part-time students are enrolled for 2011, and that's a 6% increase over the previous school year. President Dan Kenny said enrollment continues to grow because of the affordable tuition and agreements that allow students to finish their studies at four-year universities like Iowa, Northern Iowa, and Buena Vista. Kenny also says the college in Council Bluffs is attracting younger students these days. The average age of students 15 years ago was 27. Now the average age is under 21. Postal workers from across Iowa converged on the state capitol to protest plans to close 178 post offices and four processing centers. The protest Saturday in Des Moines came as the U.S. Postal Service considers ways to cut costs. The Postal Service lost $8.5 billion last year and is expected to lose $10 billion this year. Larry Ginter of Rhodes has been a letter carrier for 26 years. He said the closure of the Rhodes post office would put people out of work and force customers to travel miles to the nearest post office. Now, the processing centers that are at risk of closing are located in Carroll, Cedar Rapids, Creston, and Waterloo. The closure of the Sioux City processing center is already in the works. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama will unveil his long-term deficit reduction plan today. It proposes $1.5 trillion in new taxes and $580 billion in cuts to mandatory benefit programs, including Medicare. Republicans have ruled out tax increases to lower deficits. Former President Bill Clinton says Republican criticism that President Obama's proposal to raise taxes on the wealthy will kill jobs is what they always say, quote unquote. Clinton tells NBC's Today Show that he believes Republican opposition will soften in the coming election year, just as it did when he was president. A new study suggests that authorities are going about it all wrong when they do police lineups. A study by the American Judicature Society said that witnesses shouldn't look at a group of people, but individuals one by one to pick out a suspect. The study also says the detective in the room with the witnesses shouldn't know which person is the real suspect. News time is 8:10.
I'm so frustrated.
I have always had cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish Network. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions and just want to talk to a live person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish Network, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For a local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separate.
In the funeral announcements, 54-year-old David L. Moser of Stewart died Thursday at his home. Services for David Moser will be today at 10 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. 84-year-old Clarice Jansen of Manila and formerly of Aspinwall died Friday at the Manila Manor Nursing Home. Funeral services for Clarice Jansen will be held today at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. 89-year-old Betty Louise Lund of Audubon died Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A massive Christian burial service for Betty Louise Lund will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. 84-year-old Carl Campbell of Orient died Thursday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Carl Campbell will be today at 11 o'clock at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. 82-year-old Helen Irene Holloway of Irwin died Saturday at home. Funeral services for Helen Holloway will be today at 1:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 52-year-old Dion Allen Grooms of Walnut died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Dion Grooms will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. 84-year-old Paul F. Kanan of Harlan died Friday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Mass of Christian burial service for Paul Kanan will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 74-year-old Lois Lorraine Rattenborg of Oakland died Sunday at her home west of Oakland. Funeral services for Lois Rattenborg will be held on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Regan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. 88-year-old Dolores Carr of Anita died Sunday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Services for Dolores Carr are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. 88-year-old Marjorie Sherden of Atlantic died Friday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Marjorie Sherden are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And 89-year-old Paul Steele of Rural Fontenelle died Sunday at the Cass County Hospice Center in Atlantic. Funeral services for Paul Steele are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements for this hour, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.